the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Daniel Harris is with us. Good morning to you, Daniel. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. How's it going, lads?
So the Manchester United transfer window, taken as a whole, because it was obviously the longest transfer window of all time. Donny van de Beek, Cavani, Alex Telles, the 18-year-old Pelestri, who's been signed from Peñarol in Uruguay, and the Atlanta winger, Amad Diallo, who doesn't arrive until January. Diallo's quite expensive for somebody who's played 24 minutes in Serie A, but actually that might be the right thing for a club like Manchester United to do, is to buy the next generation. Kind of that's an unusual little bit of business that they haven't done that much of in recent years, and might be an indication that they have a slightly different approach in the transfer market. But we can deal with the individuals on a holistic basis. How did they do?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's kind of weird where you have discussions about who's had an inverted commas good window, as this is now a thing. But because the point is really whether they're good or not, and you don't know whether they're good or not until they play. However, I do think that United needed, really, as far as I saw it, I can see why they bought all the players that they bought, but they needed to fill three positions in the first 11. They needed a better centre-back than Victor Lindelof. They needed a better midfield player than Nemanja Matic, and they needed a right winger ready to go straight into the team. And they managed to sign 73 players, but skillfully avoided filling all of those roles. However, you look at it in that sense, and the board have really let down Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in that they obviously tried to sign Jadon Sancho, but ultimately refused to pay the money that they said they were going to pay. And that is what happened. Whatever internet experts and no marks and whatever tell you about what happened, Jadon Sancho wanted to come to United. He thought he was coming to United until quite late in the transfer window, and United wouldn't pay the money. The level at which €120 million is a lot of money for any player in this market. On the other hand, the opportunity to sign someone who you think is going to be one of the best players of his generation is not an opportunity that will come all that often. And the chances are that next summer, even if Jadon Sancho is prepared to go through United's prevarications again, and you would understand if he wasn't, there's likely to be competition for him, I think that's why Chelsea signed Kai Havertz. Because although Frank Lampard must know that his defence is substandard, next summer, Kai Havertz is not going to go to Chelsea. So they felt like they had to act now, so they did. So the right winger, it didn't happen, and they had a look at other right wingers, and those didn't happen. My guess is that there's just too many centre-backs on the books, so Ole was probably told you can't have a centre-back till you get rid of one. But I also think there's a situation where even if you could buy any centre-back in the world who's available, who would you buy? And the answer to that is not obvious. You're either trying to pay whatever it costs to get Upamecano out of Leipzig, and he just signed a contract this summer, or you're gambling on, like Arsenal did, on Gabriel Magalhães or whoever it might be. So that's probably why. I think that the two signings that I felt would have been transformative for United would have been the centre-back and the upgrade on Matic. As far as the upgrade on Matic goes, it doesn't really seem like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer thought that was a priority, because there wasn't really even very much speculation about United getting someone in that position. And to me, that is the position that would be most transformative, because what it would enable United to play 4-3-3 with two attacking midfield players, not 4-2-3-1 with one attacking midfield player and one midfield player, Paul Pogba, doing, in theory, a bit of attacking and a bit of defending, and in practice, quite a lot of nothing. So it would also mean that you would have a lot more control of the game, because the person who sets the tempo by taking the ball off the back four and distributing it properly would be a massive advantage, something that United don't currently have. It would also give them legs, and it would also mean that the back four is protected. The back four will be protected, the dodgy back four, as we now know is the case, will be protected, one, because the team would have more of the ball, and two, because they would have someone patrolling that area in front of it. Because what I think you really need is someone running about the width of the pitch in the way that we see Fernandinho do with City, for example. And United didn't do any of those things. But you can't judge how good the transfer window has been until you see the players that they did sign, how they do. And so if we look at those players, Amad Diallo Traore, who, as you say, they did pay a lot of money for, but wherever you look, you will see the people that have seen him saying, here's a serious talent, a proper blue chip serious talent who should go on to be a really good football player. So I understand why they've done that. And whether he can come in, turn up in January and be good enough to make a difference January to May, I've absolutely no idea. Neither does anyone, really. And likewise for Kunde Palistri. I think what we're seeing from United, and it's not just those two players, it's the signing of Hannibal Medri, who they bought from Monaco, I think a year ago. The name of the centre-back who escapes me. What they're trying to do is they're trying to kind of build a team that will be good in, say, 3 years, because I think that there is no will on the board to do what it takes to make United successful right now. United will always be chasing for as long as the Glazers are in charge, unless they're able to get 4, 5, 6 players into the first team who, for whom they paid either nothing or for whom they paid very little. So they're trying to build a brilliant under-23 team with the idea that those players will then move into the first team and you won't have to go and spend 120 million euros or not spend 120 million euros on Jadon Sancho because you bought the player who would be as good as Jadon Sancho when he was 17. Then to look at the players who I guess United did sign for the first team squad, Donny van de Beek looks a really good player. He looked a good player before United signed him, and he's looked a good player since they've signed him when he's been on the pitch, and he's been made to look an even better player by how badly Paul Pogba's played so far this season. And I hope that he is one of the good things that comes out of a 6-1 home gubbing by Spurs. I mean, what a sentence that is. But it seems to me that you can't, if you want to be seen as a manager who is weak, you will allow a 6-1 home defeat by Tottenham to go unpunished. And the players that are responsible for that defeat will remain the players who play in the next game. But what I would hope would be the case is that Van de Beek comes in for Pogba, Dean Henderson comes in for De Gea, and I've no idea what you do at centre-back. But just those changes would at least give a different feel to the team. It would show the squad that you can't lose 6-1 at home to Tottenham and just proceed as if nothing has happened. The Tottenham team aren't even that good. You didn't even force to play particularly well for their 6-1. So I would hope that Donny van de Beek, and I think that even if it isn't after the 6-1 home gubbing by Tottenham, Donny van de Beek looks like a player who is too good to leave out for very long. And it looks like his mentality is such that he won't put up with it and he will make a case for inclusion based on his performances on the pitch. Alex Telles, I've only seen him play a couple of times, but I'm nevertheless certain he's a superior player to Luke Shaw. So that is a start. Whether he is as good a player at left-back as United would like is a bit something that I'm less certain about, because the way that United play and the way that I think United should play, 4-3-3 with two attacking midfield players, the fullbacks, all the defenders need to be able to defend one-on-one.
Can we just talk about what? That? Can we talk about the 4-3-3? Because that's interesting, right?
Like, I love the 4-3-3 in the morning.
Well, does Ole Gunnar Solskjaer love that? That's my fundamental here is, like, I buy that the Glazers are a very important handbrake on any manager who comes to the club and says, right, I want to buy these players for these positions because they're the world-class players that are going to bring this club success. I buy that Woodward gets outflanked in transfer negotiations and actually probably is quite happy for the transfer saga that they had with Sancho to run all summer because it keeps Manchester United in the back page. And he's confessed that himself. But what I don't know is what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's football philosophy is, what his ambition is, what he's trying to achieve with the team. If he was an old school 4-4-2, I'm going to play like Alex Ferguson did and I'm going to make sure that everybody does the exact role that they want to, fine. If he is a gegenpressing carbon copy of what's going on at Liverpool, then at least I understand that's what he's trying to do. But I actually think that one of the fundamental issues that they have is that the manager doesn't communicate anybody, certainly publicly, I presume he's doing something differently in private, what his players are supposed to be doing in and out of the ball.
I think that, one of the biggest problems, I think, with the way that United play, aside from the quality of some of the players, is that they're playing this 4-2-3-1, which doesn't get the most or sometimes anything out of Pogba. I guess my hope is that the plan is to eventually play 4-3-3, where you have, in order to play 4-3-3 with the players that United have, with two attacking midfield players, the person who plays behind them needs to be able to cover the width of the pitch. They need to have legs, and they need to be able to pass the ball forward. And of the players that United have who could play that position, they have Matic, who has no legs and not much range of passing, but is fairly disciplined. They have Scott McTominay, who has all the legs and physical power that you would like for that position, but has a lot of work to do on the sharpness of his passing, the accuracy of his passing. And you have Fred, who doesn't really have the physical presence, but probably does have the legs and always looks to pass it forward, but he's quite careless in possession. So it's hard to know if Ole just does want to play a 4-2-3-1. I think that if he does, then the evidence should be informing him that that isn't working. So I think in terms of how he wants them to play, he wants them to be pressing from the front. He wants them to be a front foot team. Whether all the parts are working that enable that to be effected properly is more of a conversation. We saw it happening towards the end of last season, that it was working pretty well. They were pressing from the front. The third man runs were on point. The quick interactions between the players were on point. But I think what's happened this season is that they turned up undercooked. And I think the opponents have twigged that the defence isn't that good. The defensive record is a lot better than the defending. And teams have, in the Premier League, most teams have at least a couple of players that can hurt you, whoever your team is. And we saw that with Palace. We saw it with Brighton, where United got away with one. And then we saw it again with Tottenham. And the Tottenham game was, I think, when it went 1-1 and when it went 2-1, but there was probably about 5 or 10 minutes when it looked like United were going to equalise, where they weren't like peppering the goal with great chances, but they were starting to exert pressure. They were starting to control the game. And then, boom, they conceded 3 brilliant chances to Tottenham, one after the other. Spurs scored the third one, and that was the end of the game. So I think that the way that United want to play, because to bring it back to Alex Tellez, is they need defenders who are able to defend one-on-one. And that is my concern with Tellez, because Tellez is really good going forward. His delivery is really good from crosses, although he seems to be more kind of a player who's going to swing across him for someone's head. And it's not entirely certain who that is going to be. Mason Greenwood, Ole was saying actually just the other day, needs to improve his heading. I'm sure he will get there because he has all the qualities of timing and physicality that you would need to do that. Martial can do it because, I mean, we saw him score a brilliant header at Chelsea last season, but, I mean, he's suspended for the next 3 games anyhow. But it's not really his game. And then there's Cavani. And so, but just with Tellez, I'm concerned with Tellez that whether or not he has the pace to defend one-on-one. Having done a little bit of internet research on him and just spoken to people that have seen him play, they say that he tends to stand off a quick winger to give himself the space to get in. But yeah, ultimately, if he's tight and the ball goes in behind, he might be able to use his power to get in the road, but he's not going to win a race, probably. So that would be my problem with Tellez, and also the fact that he's 27. There wasn't a competition for him. So it would suggest that perhaps he isn't quite the level of player that you would want to buy. And if he was, given it's a one-horse race, why did it take until now to get him? Or are you panicking?
Would you be happy, Daniel, if Pochettino rocked up at the end of the international break?
I don't think it'll happen, but I think if Ole were to lose his job for the 6-1 thrashing at the hands of the mighty Tottenham Hotspur, it would be very hard to argue with that. And had they done it in the summer, then yeah, I felt like Ole had earned himself more rope than that by he completed his half of the bargain. And even now, the club, he completed his half of the bargain. He got United not just a third in the league, but to a place where they had momentum and they looked like they were developing into a team. You could see what they needed and you could see the things that they were doing that were good, and they didn't furnish him with what he needed to take it on from there. But the way that they're defending and also the way that they're competing this season suggests that things are not good. And if you lose your job for a 6-1 home thrashing by the mighty Tottenham Hotspur, I don't think you can have too many complaints about that. So I think, on balance, would I give him one more go with the players that he's just signed? I can't believe I'm going to ask and then answer my own question like I'm Gary Cook, but I think that's what I'm going to do. then yeah, I guess I would understand if they gave him more time, but so poor was the performance against Tottenham, and so poor was the performance in the game before that and the game before that, that yeah, if Pochettino turned up, I would find it hard to complain. Sure. And so I feel like, am I being fickle in saying that? Because I was happy with where the United were a month ago, but the standard of
new evidence came to light.
Well, I wrote in the summer that the defensive record was better than the defending, but the standard of defending has been so absolutely fucking dreadful that if there were a consequence for that, then it would be quite hard to challenge why that should be the case. Because is there anyone on the coaching team who knows how to make that better? I'm not sure, because first of all, they bought Harry Maguire in the first place when, to me, it was clear that he was not the player that his PR said he was, this big, vocal organiser who plays with discipline and organises the other players. I don't see that. I see decent English-style centre-back, but not an elite-level player, and not an organiser and a particularly good leader either. So,
no.
I can understand why there would be a problem with that signing, because I felt at the time.
We've asked you for legitimacy ratings all through this window about whether or not Sancho and other signings are going to happen, so we have to get your final take. Mark this transfer window out of 10 for Manchester United.
I think so I'm going to mark it. We haven't even talked about Cavani, who, to quickly talk about Cavani, I think would make sense as a signing in some ways. You don't want anyone to go in front of Martial and Mason Greenwood. And so instead, you buy someone from whom they can learn, who would hopefully be good for some goals that you wouldn't otherwise have got, and is an option that is better than Ighalo. I totally understand that buy. And people say, well, he's coming for the money, they're paying him a shitload of money. I think a player of Edinson Cavani's drive and pedigree, he might turn up for the money still, because humans are humans, but nothing that we've seen from him suggests that is going to be the case, so we should probably wait for that to be the case before banging on like that is likely to be the case, because I don't think it is. Cavani's also not a bad buy, except they could have got him in June, and then he could have been training with United since then and been fit and been used to his surroundings, used to his teammates. So at the beginning of the transfer window, that I felt would have been a smart and sensible signing, that it's a punt. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if it does work, then that is a smart piece of work. But to do it now smells of panic. And so...
Mark's out of 10 because we're out of time.
4.
Ooh, scraping a pass.
They did sign the 3 things that they most needed.
That's fair enough.
And so even if the other players are really good, for what they need right now, they have not elevated the team in the way that they could, should, and the manager had deserved, and the players had deserved, for the team to be elevated. And this is where we are, and it will always be like this as long as the Glazers run United.
Well, that's way more than one word, Daniel, but great to have you with us. Thanks a million.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.